السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يفعل ما يشاء ولا يفعل ما يشاء غيره. الحمد لله كما يحب الله أن يحمد. الحمد لله كما هو أهله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفس الجانية بتقوى الله خالق الدنيا الفانية، فاتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. On this day of Friday, a day of the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah and our responsibility towards Him and the blessings that He's given us and how it is that we're supposed to compensate and fulfill and put those blessings into action, into the way that they were intended. I encourage myself foremost and all of you secondly to remember Allah and to have taqwa of Allah. Taqwa means to protect ourselves against the disobedience of Allah and the punishment that awaits us if we turn away from His blessings and don't put them to use the way that He wants us to put them to use. Today is the day of Friday. It's also a day in which we are, inshallah, feeling the effects of having mourned for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. For the last 10 or 11 days. This type of intense remembrance, incredible sacrifice on the parts of people who are busy, have other things to do, coming together, putting time in, organizing, listening, learning, reflecting, crying, mourning, consoling each other, volunteering, all of these aren't just acts that take place in a certain time and then the effect is just limited to that time, but rather they are instrumental in building who we are and what our identity is. The essence of our humanity lies with us aligning ourselves with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As we prepare ourselves and ready ourselves in every way possible for the coming of the Imam of our time. What I'd like to do for the first khutbah, inshallah, is to mention a few of the lessons that I personally was inspired to take from the message of Karbala, in the hopes that you too, inshallah, may find some inspiration as well. There are many lessons. Some ulama have mentioned that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of lessons that can be derived from the events of Karbala. This is just a sampling of them. One of them has to do with the dignity of a human being. The story is that of Joan, who is known as the son of Huwai. Joan was a slave of Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari. They say that after he served Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari, he went and served Imam Ali alayhi salam, and after serving Imam Ali, he went and served Imam Hassan, and then Imam Hussein, and then even the son of Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. This was an individual who spent his life in the service of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When it comes to the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gives him permission. He says that you're free to go. You've done a life of service. You're free. No longer do we have any obligations. At this point, look at what Joan tells Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's very beautiful. He says that, oh, the son of the Messenger of Allah, you're telling me, this is the gist of what he says, that you're telling me that when times are easy, and times are good, that I should be with you. But when times get difficult, I should abandon you. There's lessons here for us, brothers and sisters. Then he says, فَتَنَفَّسْ عَلَيَّ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Let me get some of that paradise that will await me if I should join you, and you let me and you permit me to be among your ranks. And let my scent be perfumed, and let my lineage be attained, let my lineage attain nobility, and let my face be whitened by being with you. Now, I'd like to make a point here. Sometimes we misunderstand this concept of a face being whitened. We think, na'udhu billah, that somehow being dark-skinned is somehow a negative thing, and being white-skinned is somehow a superior thing. Our instructions in this regard comes from the Qur'an itself. Allah says in the Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه. Allah says that on the Day of Judgment there will be those whose face becomes white and face becomes blackened. Now, does this refer to a physical coloring? When you go and look at what the commentators explain for us, they say that in the Arabic language, these two terms are used as figurative language to indicate one's internal state. Somebody whose face is darkened is somebody who's very ashamed, somebody who's very regretful. That day is Yawm al-Hasra, the day when those who didn't strive their best, who didn't give it everything that they had, who were lazy in some respects, who put off tawbah, who put off reform, who said that thing of self-building, that responsibility of refining our souls is for somebody else, is not for me, that day will be the day of regret. And that regret is symbolized in this expression of one's face being darkened. On the other hand, those whose face is whitened, that's an expression for somebody who is pleased, somebody who is happy, somebody who is content. That death and the entrance into the hereafter for somebody who has put forth all their efforts, struggled in all respects, that death will be a source of victory for them, something that was contentment. And the hereafter will be something will be contented for them as well too. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ فَادْخُلُوا يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. Both on one hand, the nafs, that soul who attains that status is pleased, and also that soul is the subject of contentment, meaning that Allah Himself is pleased with that soul as well. So that's the expression of the face being whitened. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam gives him permission after he insists. They say that he actually has to beg permission. He even goes and kisses the feet of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he fights very valiantly. And when he is struck down, before he breathes his last, he is gifted with the presence of the Imam of his time. And Imam alayhi salam, when he is with him, he makes a dua for him. He says, Allahumma bayyid wajha wa tayyib riha wa hshurhu ma'al abrar wa arif baynahu wa bayna Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Salawat. For an Imam to make this type of dua at somebody's deathbed is quite an honor. When we look at the history of Karbala, first of all, not everyone was gifted with the Imam coming to them right before they were to die. Very few selected individuals among the companions. One of them is this person. And then he comes and he recites such an incredible dua, praying that he may be with the Prophet and his family, that his face be whitened, meaning that he be pleased and he be well pleasing to Allah, that his scent be perfumed. This is quite an honor. According to some reports, they say that Imam alayhi salam places his cheek on the cheek of Joan as well too. And if that's true, then he only did that with one other individual that we know from the history, which is Ali Akbar alayhi salam. The lesson that we get from this, brothers and sisters, is about the dignity of a human being. In the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, color and culture and race is something secondary to the primary identity of a human being, which is that they are an abd of Allah. Joan understood this. He realized that culture and his background was something that was secondary. His responsibility was to recognize the Imam of his time, to find out what the Imam wanted of him, and to act accordingly. And thereby he becomes a human being. And this is a very important lesson for us. When we look at ourselves, first of all, what is our identity? Am I first my culture and then I'm a Muslim, or am I a Muslim? And then culture has a role, an important role, but is a secondary role to my religion and my identity as an abd. They say that Ayatollah Behjad rahmatullahi alayhi, when he first published his Tawzih al-Masail, his Risala, they wanted to put a fancy title for him. For example, Ayatollah al-Udhma, this thing, that thing, you know, and all these other things, because that's something that some people have as a custom doing. He said that, no, I want my title to be Al-Abd, Muhammad Taqi Behjad. Al-Abd. That's my identity. I'm an abd, nothing more, nothing less. This is who I am. Everything I have, moment by moment, is given to me by Allah. This is an important lesson when it comes to how we deal with other people as well too. When I know that the person I'm in front of has the potential to be an abd of Allah, and therefore, and thereby that's what determines their dignity, then culture and race and these type of things become secondary in my reaction and my interaction with them. The primary responsibility that I have is to understand that this person has the potential of being an abd of Allah, and therefore I need to treat them as a fellow abd. When it comes to the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is very important, because we should be striving to make our message something which appeals to all the slaves of Allah, all the servants of Allah on the earth, and not do things which erect artificial boundaries that prevents one culture or other cultures from benefiting from the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The second lesson that I'd like to mention is that of building a strong family. You saw so many scenes, inshallah, in the course of the lectures that you were attending, the majalis you were attending, the reading that you were doing, the thinking that you were performing. You saw so many examples of how children and families and individuals just were incredible human beings, and at this time of stress and distress, how they responded with such an amazing response to the call of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This didn't just happen on the day of Karbala. This was something that was being worked on from a long time ago. Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew that he had a special mission. He had trained his family from the very beginning accordingly. And so was the case with the Ahlul Bayt before him as well. Imam Hussein's relationship with his family was so incredible that we're told that he actually composed poetry at one time to express the love he had for his family. They say that he composed this poetry, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّنِي لَأُحِبُّ دَارًا تَكُونُ بِهَا السَّكِينَةُ وَالرُّبَابُ أُحِبُّهُمَا وَأَبْذُلُ جُلَّ مَالِي وَلَيْسَ لِعَاتِبٍ عِنْدِي عِتَابُ. I swear that I would love that home. I love that home in which there is Sakina and her mother. I love them both, and I would spend the bulk of my, or the vast amount of my wealth for them, and no one would have the right to censure me or blame me for doing so. Now imagine that a husband would compose poetry. First of all, that's something. Okay, inshallah, brothers, if you end up taking that inspiration, you actually do it, then let me know, inshallah. I'm sure your family will be very happy if you do such a thing. Sometimes we have problems even just writing one line of thank you on a card or something. First of all, composing poetry. Second of all, that poetry should become something that's known and published in books of poetry, and that it reaches us right now. The families that they had were families that were built on the pillars of love and respect. And this was something that was incredibly evident. This was a family in which they recognized that there was a father figure, and they loved and cared and supported that father figure. They say that as the horse of Imam Hussein, this is in the authentic maqatil, that as the horse of Imam Hussein is departing the tent, the children are hanging onto the horse because they don't want it to go. Do we show respect for our father figures? Do we leave what we're doing when they come home and go and greet them? Do we turn to them for leadership and for direction in the family? On the other hand, we see someone like Zainab salamullahi alayha standing representing the highest ideals of a woman and an abd of Allah, one who knows her position and knows her responsibility. They say that she was somebody who had the highest level of haya and iffah, that when it came to dealings with non-mahrams, she was particularly careful. She knew her place. But when responsibility calls for it, this is the Zainab salamullahi alayha who delivers such a speech that historians, when they record it, they cannot explain and fathom how it is that this one lady could say something which had such an incredible effect on the people. How such eloquence could be coming from a lady. And they use her speeches as an example, even until today, in the books of literature, as to how a speech could be composed with such eloquence and such beauty. These are the lessons that we can take. If our home and our family is a place of comfort and a place of happiness, a place of support, a place of discussion, a place of learning, a place of worship, then alhamdulillah, we've taken something from the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and inshallah we can work on it even further. But if our homes are places where, for the most part, there's argumentation, there's difficulties, there's tension, there's stress, people are anxious to leave the home and they're happier outside than they are inside, then we know that we have something to work on in that respect. Because after all, Imam Hussein alayhi salam wants us not only when it comes to a matter of dealing with the enemy as they did in the battlefield. No, Imam Hussein alayhi salam wants us to be an abd of Allah in all respects, our family life, our personal life, our social life, our community life, in all respects, understand how it is that Allah wants us to operate and act accordingly. I hope inshallah that we can try to reflect more on the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and do some reading in this regard as well too. Sometimes in the majalis, we talk about some stories of Karbala. Usually these are the ones that are more likely to provoke emotion. But there's so many other parts of the history that are worth analyzing and looking and seeing what is it that actually took place, what is it that Imam Hussein actually stood for, and how it is that this message of Karbala is something that wasn't meant to just be remembered over 10 or 11 days and then packaged away and put in our back pocket as we go on to the rest of our life. No. That would be doing disservice to the sacrifice of the son of Fatima. The true responsibility that we have is to now take what we learned from this and to use that as an inspiration to build ourselves, build our families, and build our communities.
أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الأول قبل الإنشاء والإحياء والآخر بعد فناء الأشياء الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا دائما أبدا والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين
Typically in the second khutbah, we are asked to reflect on the situation of Muslims and the current events. One of the things that we get from Karbala as we look at the messages from it is that it's a powerful reminder for us as to how we shouldn't just be focused on our individual lives, but also be concerned about what's happening outside of us as well too. I'll just give one quick example, inshallah. In the Quran, Allah describes a group of people who are known as the tyrants. Look at how he describes them. He says that, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, verse 28. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا وَأَحَلُّوا قَوْمَهُمْ دَارَ الْبَوَارِ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَوْنَهَا وَبِئْسَ الْقَرَارِ. He says that, have you not regarded these people? Now, what is the qualities of these people? Is that number one, they take the blessings of Allah and instead of using them the way that they should be used, they change them into a curse. They change them into, instead of being thankful, they are ungrateful to them. For example, the blessings of being able to speak well, the blessings of wealth and power, the blessings of power and being in the position of authority, they change that into ingratitude. And as a result, وَأَحَلُّوا قَوْمَهُمْ دَارَ الْبَوَارِ, they land their people into the house of ruin, meaning that not only themselves, but they take their people who follow them and they ruin them as well too. They will enter hell and it is an evil abode. The message here is that not only is the Quran advising us to treat our blessings in the right way, but also particularly with those who are in power, that they should understand that they have a responsibility towards their people, the blessings that we have. In the countries that we live in, we're blessed with so many natural resources. We're blessed with so many people who can do so many things. If we find that somebody is using this and using these blessings and misappropriating them to help the interests of a select few and to oppress others, then this is contrary to the message of Quran. And it is our responsibility to recognize that and to do what we can to assist those who are oppressed. We've received news, as always, of Shias being killed as on the account of them commemorating and mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There was a very tragic bombing, I believe, in Iraq, where there was tens of Shias and pilgrims who were killed. And there's other places in this world as well too, Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, where, and others as well, Palestine, where we have those who are oppressed, who need our du'as on this day. We remember them and we pray to Allah that He removes the oppression from all those who are being oppressed with the coming of the, and the swift coming of the Imam of our time. اللهم صل على النبي الأمي والكوكب الدري الرسول المسدد المحمود الأحمد المصطفى الأمجد أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم على أئمة المؤمنين وهداة الخلق أجمعين أمير المؤمنين الإمام علي بن أبي طالب والحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة ثم علي بن الحسين زين العابدين ومحمد الباقر وجعفر الصادق وموسى الكاظم وعلي الرضا ومحمد الجواد وعلي الهادي والحسن العسكري. اللهم صل وسلم على ولي أمرك الإمام صاحب الزمان وشريك القرآن وإمام الإنس والجان وكعبة الإيمان القائم المهدي. اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه واجعلنا من أنصاره وعوانه. اللهم اقضي حاجاتنا وشافي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وتقبل أعمالنا وثبت أقدامنا واغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها صغيرها وكبيرها ولسائر إخواننا الأحياء منهم والأموات. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصلي لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صلوات.